The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Well, 7 a.m. comes a lot earlier than 1 p.m. over in the UK. I know that's not exactly breaking news, but it certainly is impressed upon me each time that I get behind the mic here at the beautiful headquarters facility for God's work. It's always a rush job to get everything together, and I do have quite a few guys on both sides of the pond that are very helpful in pulling together some audio clips and supplying me with quite a few stories to sift through each day. And I'll get to some of those here in just a second. First, though, I want to mention last night we had a beautiful dance recital, a short and sweet recital that lasted 38 or 39 minutes. And it actually showcased, I think we have 13 or 14 dancers that are going to be competing at the U.S. Nationals competition, which begins this Friday and carries on through to, I think, Monday or Tuesday of next week. So we got to see the dances that are going to be performed out at Nationals. If we have time at the end of the show, hopefully I can play a short snippet from last night's performance. Well, over the past, I think it's been almost 24 hours now. If you've seen the headline at Drudge, it probably caught your attention. It says, "Rise of the German Superstate, EU members to dissolve armies and surrender economic power." The rise of the German Superstate. And of course, as I said, this was headlined there as recently as an hour ago. In any event, for those who know anything about God's work and about the prophecies that Mr. Armstrong talked about, that's a headline that gets our attention. Now, it did link to a Daily Express article in the UK, and usually if a breaking story only appears in the Daily Express, we'll wait until it appears in other papers or other news organizations before we comment on it, because the Daily Express is sometimes a little sensational and doesn't always get it right. And the same is true with the Daily Mail, which referred to the Daily Express story. But at the same time, given the advantage that we have as students of Bible prophecy, you can read the headline there at Drudge or there at the Daily Express and know that there's a ring of truth to this story. The Daily Express says in the subhead, "European political chiefs are to take advantage of Brexit by unveiling their long-held plan to morph the continent's countries into one giant superstate. It has emerged today." And as I say, you put it together with what the Bible says, and really with what a lot of other news reports, Reuters, and other mainstream organizations have said, not just in response to Brexit, but really over the past several years. I mean, they've had their sights on a superstate from the very beginning. And the thing that Brexit is doing is it's really giving the movement a lot of momentum. It says in this story, "The foreign ministers of France and Germany are due to reveal a blueprint to effectively do away with individual member states in what is being described as an ultimatum." Germany and France don't see it as such, but Poland and other nations, particularly in the East, they're looking at this blueprint, this paper, and saying, "Well, you're giving us an ultimatum." Says, "Under the radical proposals, EU countries will lose the right to have their own army, criminal law, taxation system, or central bank, with all those powers being transferred to Brussels. Controversially, member states would also lose what few controls they have left over their own borders, including the procedure for admitting and relocating refugees. It says excerpts of the 9-page report were published today as the leaders of Germany, France, and Italy met in Berlin for Brexit crisis talks. And so the European bureaucrats, they are scurrying, and the big powers are meeting together, Germany, France, and Italy. It says here further in the preamble to the text, the two ministers write, our countries, this is again the German foreign minister and his counterpart in France, our countries share a common destiny and a common set of values that give rise to an even closer union between our citizens. We will therefore strive for a political union in Europe and invite the next Europeans to participate in this venture. So again, some have said that, well, this is leading to Europe's breakup, what happened with Britain last week. In fact, there's a push, a strong push, to develop a more closer union, a more integrated union. Smaller, I mean, we'll look at some other reports that talk about the two-tiered Europe with a core Europe that comes together. Now, that's been discussed before the crisis from last week. There's an article from, I noticed in some of my old notes this morning that we referred to in 2011, a Reuters piece talking about discussions of a core Europe made up of 8 to 10 nations. That's Reuters saying it, not me. 8 to 10 nations. Now, put that together with Revelation 17 and Daniel 2. Prophecy is accelerating. It says here, the revelations came just days after Britain shook the Brussels establishment by voting to leave the European Union, in a move some have predicted could lead to the breakup of the EU. A number of member states are deeply unhappy about the creeping federalism of the European project, with anti-EU sentiments running high in Eastern Europe, Scandinavia, and France. I mean, there's a lot of anti-EU sentiments. And of course, in one sense, it will lead to a breakup. But we've got to be keeping our eyes on the core. We've got to be keeping our eyes on the 10 that will emerge out of this, that will be more integrated with a stronger union than ever before. That's what we're watching for as students of Bible prophecy. The Daily Mail, as I said, picked up on this story, and there's others too, as I'll get to in just a second. But the Daily Mail writes, plans for a closer European Union have been branded an attempt to create a European superstate. Germany's Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier and his French counterpart today presented a proposal for closer EU integration based on three key areas: internal and external security, the migrant crisis, and economic cooperation. So this is how, again, these two sometimes sensational publications are reporting this paper. But, I mean, it is there as a paper, and it was put forward by the German foreign minister along with his French counterpart. That did happen, and it's in response to the crisis brought on by last week's referendum in Britain. The Daily Mail says the plans have been described as an ultimatum in Poland, with claims it would mean countries transfer their armies, economic systems, and border controls to the EU. And in fact, all of that, I mean, it's happening to some degree already. Already you see it. These nations in the Union that are losing their sovereignty. It says Poland's public TVP describe the Franco-German proposal as an ultimatum designed to create a European superstate dominated by large nations. Where have you heard this before? A European superstate to be dominated by Germany. Now, this comes from the local. So as I say, it's not just the Daily Express. The local says here, Germany and France urge deeper EU political union. That's what Germany's pushing for. It says in the subhead that these are ambitious steps to strengthen the union. After Britain shocked Europe, after Britain shocked the world, ambitious steps are now being taken to strengthen the European Union politically, economically, militarily. It says the top diplomats of the two core EU founding members and biggest economies said that Germany and France have a responsibility to strengthen solidarity and cohesion within the European Union. And then notice this. And again, think about where you've heard this reported before. We've been drawing attention to it for obvious reasons. It says they also signaled a willingness to accept a multi-speed union, writing that we must acknowledge that there are different degrees of ambition towards further integration among the member states. And so along with this, we should be considering a multi-speed union. Here again, the core. And then maybe some of the satellites that are more loosely affiliated with this superstate. Stratfor wrote this even before Brexit. It was just talking about what the impact would be if Britain voted to leave. This is from last week, June 20th. In the immediate aftermath of the vote, the shock of an EU member's departure would spark demonstrations in favor of continent unity across Europe. Stratfor says Germany and France, the bloc's biggest heavyweights, would seize the opportunity to advance cooperation by drafting proposals to deepen European integration. You see, Stratfor knows. I mean, this is the direction it's going. And if Britain leaves, that's only going to give it more momentum. So knowing what we know as students of Bible prophecy, as I say, you can look at that headline at the Daily Express and say there is a ring of truth to that. It's happening. Mr. Armstrong prophesied decades ago that what we're seeing in Europe right now would happen. He said it. He was right. He was absolutely right. Stratfor says the new measures would likely avoid controversial issues such as fiscal integration and focus instead on areas where consensus already exists, such as security and defense. There's already a consensus there because of the refugee crisis, because of the curse of terrorism, because of what happened in Paris last November, in Brussels. One final quote here from GermanForeignPolicy.com. It speaks of the flexible union. Berlin is applying intense pressure in the aftermath of Brexit to reorganize the EU. Is this significant from a prophetic standpoint? Let me read that again. Berlin is applying, not Brussels, but of course they're along with it too. It's Germany. It's Germany. It's Berlin. Berlin is applying intense pressure in the aftermath of Brexit to reorganize the EU under the slogan Flexible Union. Initial steps are being taken to establish a core Europe. This would mean an EU led by a small, tight-knit core of countries, with the rest of the EU member countries being subordinated to second-class status. And so we've got to keep our eyes on this small, tight-knit core of countries. When that emerges as 10 kings, well, you would hope that the many millions of readers of the plain truth, the hundreds of thousands of co-workers and supporters of Mr. Armstrong's work, the tens of thousands of members of what used to be the Worldwide Church of God. You would hope that they'd open their eyes and wake up. Someone, by the way, sent me a link to, I think it was a paper in Florida, talking about the end times and so-called prophets, wild-eyed prophets that are out there declaring this or declaring that. Well, he lumped in Herbert Armstrong with all the rest, mocking the messages, the prophecies, the teachings of God's servant. And as it happens, this story comes out just a couple of days after Brexit. And the guy who wrote this article probably had no clue what Mr. Armstrong said about Britain being no part of it. Here he is making fun of Herbert Armstrong. Even as the prophecy that he talked about in 1956 just happened right before his eyes. Well, look for the core. Now, as I say, there was a Reuters story from 2011, and it didn't draw much attention, except from this church. Because, well, I mean, it's just a few discussions between Germany and France about the possibility of a core Europe consisting of 8 to 10 nations. Well, when we saw that, it got our attention. It certainly did. 8 to 10 nations? Are you serious? And then it dies out. No one pays much attention to it. But now those discussions are going on again. And there's a more serious tone in those discussions. There's a greater sense of urgency because of crises that continue to mount. And so here they are now talking about establishing a core Europe. Europe is being reshaped before our eyes. Brexit has happened. Britain is no part of it. And so what happens next? Well, we can look into the Bible. You talk about a blueprint. You talk about a playbook. We have it. We have it. Bible prophecy gives us the answers. I'll take you through a few verses here in Revelation 17 in just a second if you'd like to go and get your Bible and read along. But first, let me just play a clip for you. This is a quote from Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, that I've played probably one or two times before. It's from one of his early radio broadcasts in the 1960s, and in this audio clip, he's referring back to what he even wrote and said in the 1930s. This is Herbert Armstrong from his old radio broadcast.
Well, greetings, friends around the world. Now, I've been telling our radio audience and readers of The Plain Truth that a political union of 10 nations in Europe would rise, resurrecting the Holy Roman Empire of the Middle Ages. I was predicting this even before World War II began. Not many believed it then. Well, let me quote to you what I wrote in an article in The Plain Truth of July 1935, 4 years before World War II was started by Adolf Hitler. I'll just quote a little out of the center of that entire article that shows what the article was saying and what it was talking about. Listen, quote, "Out of the present Italy is to emerge a reincarnation of the once great and powerful Roman Empire by an alliance of 10 nations within its territory." That was 4 years before World War II began. Biblical prophecy revealed that it would start as an economic movement, that it would bring an era of unusual prosperity to Europe. It did start in March 1957, when six European countries, West Germany, France, Italy, Belgium, Holland, and Luxembourg signed the Treaty of Rome, creating what was called the EEC, that is, the European Economic Community. It has been known, of course, as the European Common Market, and it came into being, actual operation, that is, on January the 1st, 1958. Immediately, it began to bring economic prosperity to those six countries and has provided economic competition for Britain, for the United States, and for other countries around the world. For years, European nations have wanted to unite in a sort of United States of Europe. What they want is political union, but they've never been able to bring that about. While President de Gaulle of France lived, Germany would never have yielded to accept him as the political head of a union, including Germany, and the French would not accept a German. Long-range plans are already underway for a common currency in Europe, but other things are going to intervene in the meantime that I want to tell you about, and I predict that there will be a common currency a great deal sooner in Europe. Now, how did I know, as far back as 1927 even, that this coming United States of Europe would spring up in our time? I knew because it's revealed in biblical prophecy.
He knew because he had the blueprint. He looked into the playbook. He knew as far back as 1927. And he proclaimed these truths, these prophecies, for decades. 50, 60 years. I have a couple of other quotes here from his radio programs. I didn't have time to get the audio. Perhaps we can do this for a later show. But he said also back in the 60s that there's going to be this union of church and state. That's another aspect of this prophecy that we'll have to be giving more attention to in the months ahead. But there's this union of church and state, and there'll be one great super government, he said. And it will be fascist in its system. That's what Mr. Armstrong said. It's not going to be a democratic effort or movement. It's going to come down in the form of, as Poland has said, ultimatums. You get on board or you're out. Now maybe we'll let you be loosely affiliated. Maybe we'll let you have sort of a second-tier status. But look, we've got to get busy here and really establish a more integrated, closely integrated union. That's what's happening. Mr. Armstrong also said this: when a terrible thing is going to happen to this Babylon that's now rising up in Europe and around the Mediterranean region, it's rising up, he said. You don't see it. It's still underground. He said this back in the 60s. He said it's not emerged above ground yet. I mean, that's talked about in Revelation 17, as we'll look at here in just a second. Seven resurrections. Seven peaks. Separated by valleys. After World War II, it went underground. But he said it's going to emerge above ground yet. And this is what he said, but we're going to stand aghast. The people of the world are going to be dumbfounded when this thing comes. All who don't know the Bible and the prophecies and know that it's coming and you're going to see it come, he says, 10 nations will form a United States of Europe, a resurrected Roman Empire. Now, Revelation 17 here, it describes this final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, the one that's now forming. And yet, even in the world of traditional Christianity, who gets into this? Who teaches this? Mr. Armstrong, in that same message that I just played a clip from, he talked about taking a trip with another preacher from another church way back in the 1940s or 50s when he was going up to give a live radio broadcast. And during the course of that trip, in conversation, he told the man about some basic scriptures in Daniel 2 and elsewhere about the kingdom of God, the soon coming kingdom of God, the gospel that Jesus preached. And this man looked at him and said, well, you don't preach that, do you? And he said, of course I do. It's what the Bible says. And Mr. Armstrong went on to say, I mean, he was kind of flabbergasted because in his mind, and this was a religious man, in his mind, the gospel of Jesus Christ was just a simple gospel of believe in Christ and that's it. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that's what all of these prophecies culminate in. Why don't the churches of this world today discuss these prophecies? There's some few. There was a story on Friday about Protestants in Northern Ireland that were out there, you know, leading the Leave campaign and referring to the prophecies of what would happen in Europe. Now, they didn't understand the prophecies the right way, but they knew enough to urge their supporters that, look, we don't want to be a part of what's forming in Europe. But those examples are few and far between. People that will actually consider the prophecies of God. Why don't they study Revelation 17? Why won't they look into it for themselves? Why won't they believe what God has to say? My father wrote in the book, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, he said there are parts of Revelation that people in general could understand better if they would put the pieces together and face basic facts. Here is depicted a woman riding a beast, meaning a church will be guiding a political entity. If people would face basic facts like these, they could understand the book of Revelation better. I mean, if they just had an awareness of history and accepted what God says in the book of Revelation, they could understand some of these basic facts better. Now, of course, we need God to open our minds ultimately to be able to understand these prophecies. And then after our minds have been opened, we have to cling to this truth. We have to contend for this truth, as Jude said. We have to fight for the truth because we have a great adversary who wants to rip it out of our hold, who wants to take it away from us, who wants us to forget it. Why do they ignore Revelation 17? Why do they ignore Daniel 2, which talks about those four world empires and then the fifth kingdom, God's kingdom, when it's set up on this earth and smashes all the other forms of human government? Daniel 2, it talks about this great image representing those four successive world-ruling kingdoms in the lead right up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's not too complicated to understand. We can put some of these basic facts of history together. Daniel 7. Over there, it describes the four beasts. Again, these four Gentile kingdoms. It puts more emphasis on the fourth one, the Roman Empire. And in that chapter, Daniel 7, you also read about a little horn that grew up among the ten horns. It uproots the first three and then dominates the final seven. You put that together with the prophecy in Revelation 13. Where John discusses the fourth and final kingdom. And then also another beast that looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon. Why do the churches ignore these many prophetic chapters? They're for the latter days. They're for our time today. That's what the Bible says. And then you come to Revelation 17 here, and God fills in so many important details. Here John describes this beast with seven heads. He describes a woman symbolizing a great church who's riding the beast, straddling the beast, guiding the beast. Revelation 17:1, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, and I'll show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Here's this woman riding the beast, this great false church. It's an unholy union. It's called holy, the Holy Roman Empire in this world. But it's really very unholy. An unholy union of church and state. Verse 5 says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. It's a great mystery. And yet people could know. People could know basic facts if they just understand history and accept what God says. Verse 7, and the angel said to me, wherefore did you marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and 10 horns. Why marvel? I'll tell you the mystery. I mean, the Bible interprets itself. The Bible interprets itself, and even as late as the mid-1800s. I mean, you could go to a lot of solid commentaries that at least understood the basics of these prophecies, of what this beast and the woman represented. But over time, those many commentaries, they lost the truth. They were embarrassed by the truth of Bible prophecy. They became weak and timid. They lacked the courage that you need to warn the world in love. They lack the courage that you need to go out and to say what the Bible says. Well, you don't actually preach that, do you, Mr. Armstrong? Well, of course I do. Well, of course I do. It's in the Bible. Verse 10, and there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. Mr. Armstrong, as you heard from that clip that I played earlier, he came along, he came on the scene during the time that one is. Five had fallen. There had been five peaks, five valleys, and then Mr. Armstrong came along and he was there when the sixth resurrection was happening. He was there. And then, though, another one would come along after Mr. Armstrong's day, after Mr. Armstrong's time. And what did he say in that one clip I read to you? It's rising up. I mean, you don't see it. It's still underground, but it's rising. And when it rises, when it finally comes into open view for everyone, people are going to stand aghast. People are going to say, how did I not see this coming? God tells us it's coming. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. What could be clearer? I mean, commentaries, of course, they'll read that and think, well, I don't understand this. Five fallen, one is, the other's not yet come. It makes perfect sense when you understand the role that Mr. Armstrong played in latter-day prophecy. He died in 1986. He died in 1986, and the Berlin Wall came down in 1989. And this church, the Philadelphia Church of God, it started a month later when my father was fired from the Worldwide Church of God. fired because he was telling that church and the leaders of it. You're losing the truth. You're losing the courage to proclaim the warning message, the truth of the gospel. And now look at what we see happening since that time. People should be standing aghast at what's happening, at some of these discussions, at some of these proposals, these papers, these ultimatums. The talk now of a core Europe, 8 to 10 nations. The talk about a European defense, a European military. The talk of Germany rearming itself. But people aren't alarmed by this. Well, we've just gone to sleep. We'll admit, well, I mean, these are uncertain times, and I don't know if Britain should have done this or should not have done this. But no one's alarmed. No one thinks prophecy is being fulfilled. In fact, you have, in the case of one journalist, he's putting together an article about the end times and just making fun of Herbert Armstrong. It's just a big joke. He's just having fun with prophecy. Verse 12, it says, "And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." Now, that's talking about the United States of Europe. This is an alarming prophecy. This was the signature prophecy of Mr. Armstrong, the keynote prophecy. These 10 contemporaneous kings, same as the 10 toes of Daniel 2, 10 heads of state in Europe. 10 heads of state in Europe joining together 10 nations or groups for 1 hour with the beast. It's going to be a short-lived reign. It's a mixture of iron and clay. But during its reign, we'll look at verse 13, "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." They're going to be of one mind. There's a spirit behind it. They are in agreement, these 10. We need to come together. We need to integrate. We need a strong core, given the crises. We need to give our power over to this beast, this now forming German-led superstate. And what does it culminate in? Verse 14 says, "These shall make war with the Lamb," that's speaking of Christ, "at his return, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called chosen and faithful." Well, but Mr. Armstrong, you don't really preach this, do you? Absolutely I do. The Lamb shall overcome them. The Lamb shall overcome this seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. This is speaking of the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. This was the gospel that Jesus preached. This was the gospel that Herbert Armstrong preached and taught, and that my father continues to preach. This is the truth of the gospel. And here you see God's people, the called, the chosen, the faithful, they're right at the center of all these activities. It's just a little flock. But if we fight for the truth of God today, if we fight for these precious truths, if we have the courage and the faith to warn in love, then we're going to be able to fight right alongside Jesus Christ to put down the evil of this world once and for all, so that the world can finally have rest and peace. What a blessing. What a blessing. What an opportunity for the people of God. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
The indescribable wreckage of the Second World War left hundreds of thousands of civilians in Germany wandering around helplessly, hungry and homeless. Every major city in Germany was buried under a heap of ruin. Adding insult to these devastating injuries, the United States and Britain jointly stated, "It is our inflexible purpose to destroy German militarism and Nazism, and to ensure that Germany will never again be able to disturb the peace of the world." Germany had just received one of the worst beatings ever in the history of modern warfare. Its military might had been destroyed, its infrastructure crushed. Against this backdrop, even as Roosevelt and Churchill offered assurances that German militarism had been permanently dismantled, Herbert W. Armstrong warned of a prophesied revival of German might to be fulfilled in the latter days. "From the very start of World War II," Mr. Armstrong wrote on May 9, 1945, "they have considered the possibility of losing this second round as they did the first, and they have carefully, methodically planned, in such eventuality, the third round, World War III." Few could have taken this warning seriously in 1945. Yet today, as Stratford noted in 2010, Germany has become one of the richest, most technologically and industrially advanced states in human history. Just as God said it would be, Germany has risen from the ashes of worldwide war to become the largest, wealthiest, and most powerful state in Europe. It is the beating heart of a revived Holy Roman Empire. For more information about the prophetic rise of Germany and the Holy Roman Empire, request our free reprint article, "The Holy Roman Empire is Back."
The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the program. If you'd like to email us some of your thoughts, your comments, your feedback, send those emails to td@kpcg.fm. We've received, as I went through a little bit of yesterday, we've received quite a lot of content from you, our dear listeners. So tell us what you think, where you're listening from, and we'd like to read some of those on the air. Well, yesterday we had an editorial meeting. It was pretty exciting for me to be involved in that on this end, as I looked at the video screen that tied in the staff there at Edstone, and also our lone representative over in Jerusalem, Brent Nachtigall. And we were all joined together via Skype, I guess it was. And we talked about, of course, the ongoing, ever-changing story here of reaction to and the impact of that British referendum last Thursday. And one of the things that we were discussing is how that Brexit really is exposing a crisis in leadership, particularly in Britain, but really it's all across the Western world. You see a crisis in leadership. You see a division in both political parties in the UK. In the Conservative Party, of course, Mr. Cameron stepping down. And then you see division in the Labour Party as well. That party could split right in half. And this, too, is the fulfillment of a prophecy in Isaiah 3 and others. Weak leadership. A crisis in leadership. Notice this this exchange. This is clip 2 from Sky News just the other day.
This comes from a Conservative lead MP who I think will be backing Boris Johnson in the leadership contest. He told me this. He said, I said to him, so where's the plan? Can we see the Brexit plan now? There is no plan. The Leave campaign don't have a post-Brexit plan. And he was pointing over there to where the Vote Leave HQ was. And then he pointed over there and he said, number 10 should have had a plan. Now, it sounds like I'm making that up. That literally happened 2 hours ago. So, and I've said this before, the person with the most thought-through plan, as evidenced by the past 48 hours, is astonishingly Nicola Sturgeon, the First Minister of Scotland.
I don't know what to say to that, actually, Faisal, so we'll take a break very briefly. We'll be back with lots more on this story, rolling on as it does, in a few minutes' time.
That was an exchange on Sky News, June 26th. And the lady said, I don't really know what to say to that. There's no plan. There's no plan. And he asked an MP that was supportive of the Leave campaign, who then pointed to number 10, or in other words, number 10 Downing Street, the Prime Minister. He should have had a plan, even if he was for staying. He should have prepared for this. And so now, I mean, they don't really know how to proceed. It's an involved process that evidently goes on for 2 years or so. And there's some in Europe calling for it to happen a lot sooner than that, to make Britain out to be an example so that others don't follow the path of the Brits. The Economist says here, Britain is sailing into a storm with no one at the wheel. There's no real leadership. They came out with their statements, Mr. Cameron, Boris Johnson, on Friday, and then you haven't heard anything from them since. They're scrambling. They don't know what to do. It says here in The Economist, despite arguments for patience from continental Anglophiles, including Angela Merkel, it says the insistence that Britain immediately invoke Article 50 of the Lisbon Treaty, launching exit negotiations can last no longer than 2 years, is hardening, it says. Soon it may be a consensus. Britain could be thrust into talks under a lame duck leader with no clear notion of what Brexit should look like or mandate to negotiate. All against a background of intensifying economic turmoil and increasingly ugly divides on Britain's streets. It says here again, the country is sailing into a storm and no one's at the wheel. No one's at the wheel. We're heading into a storm, and look at the leadership, or lack thereof, in the United Kingdom, in the United States. And you see some of the same problems in Europe. But here again, prophecy tells us that Europe is going to get that strong leader. Several of you have sent me this clip. I think it's from Friday, so it was Carl Theodor zu Guttenberg's reaction to what happened with the British referendum, and I think I quoted from it briefly yesterday on the show about how he said, you know, we're shattered. Europe is shattered by what Great Britain has done. But then this is what Mr. Guttenberg went on to say about the lack of leadership in Europe.
So the most important thing is an internal signal to those who are still in the EU. It has been mentioned before that there is a high risk now that others will follow. We have the populists sitting in the Netherlands, in France, in Germany even, although in Germany I don't see the risk of leaving the EU, but in Denmark and other places. So on one hand, the EU has to be firm and say, out is out. On the other hand, they cannot cut the ties entirely. But out is out means that you don't set an example, on the other hand, for those who are skeptical, that they say, well, it's a free ride, let's just negotiate. It has to be firm and clear. But my problem is, I don't see the necessary leadership in Europe at the very moment that is clear enough, that has a narrative, that is actually also compassionate enough to form a European Union that's stable for the next years to come.
He doesn't see it. He doesn't see the necessary leadership in Europe right now. That's firm and clear and decisive. But that leader is coming. That leadership is coming. Not in the descendants of Israel, not in the Israelite countries, But there will be a leader, a strong man, to come out of the heart of Europe. That's what your Bible says. Daniel 8, verse 23, it says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Now, he's not going to be voted into office. He's going to come in by flatteries, it says in Daniel 11. And then the EU is going to be hijacked, and people are going to stand aghast, as Mr. Armstrong said. All Europe is actually ready, just waiting for the confidence-inspiring leader, Mr. Armstrong said back in 1954. That man is there somewhere. He is indeed. He's there. He's there, and Mr. Armstrong believed that that man would undoubtedly come out of Germany. Yet another prophecy that we can keep our eyes on. Germany would lead and dominate a united Europe, he said. That's happened. Britain will be no part of it. That's happened. A confidence-inspiring leader will come. That's about to happen. And then, of course, there's the spiritual binding force that is the great false church. That's working even now as well. When we come back, we'll play a short clip from last night's dance showcase at Armstrong Auditorium. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show.
Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG is underwritten by the Philadelphia Church of God. The Philadelphia Church of God produces the Philadelphia Trumpet News Magazine, the Key of David television program, and a range of free educational material. The church supports Herbert W. Armstrong College, the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation, and Biblical Archaeology in Jerusalem, Israel. The church also sponsors KPCG, broadcasting from its home campus on Bryant Road in North Edmond, Oklahoma. More information is available at pcog.org.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
As I said earlier, we have 13 or 14 dancers that are heading to Florida here in just a few days to dance at the North American Nationals competition. And what I'd like to conclude with here and just have a little fun with is this is a dance that was performed last night at the end of the program by my son, and it's just a two-minute piece. And he only gets going, I think, about 30 seconds into it. So what you hear, it's a nice song called Blackthorn Stick, but you'll hear the beats or the taps about 30 seconds in. And at some point, I suppose we'll have to slow motion this so that we can count up all of the taps over the course of 90 seconds. This is Jude Fleury dancing to Blackthorn Stick last night at Armstrong Auditorium.